Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Welcome into Studio B of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean underscore W underscore Anderson. I'm the host of the CHGO White Sox podcast, and it's a two-man crew today. We got alongside me Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
Follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. We are still down Vinny Duber, who is down under in Australia. But we do have Ryan Herrera of CHGO Cubs joining us from San Diego a little bit later. He is at the winter meetings, and he got to talk with Mike Clevinger yesterday. So we'll bring you some Mike Clevinger quotes, stuff that I find interesting, at least with him signing with the Sox, some previous relationships that we didn't know about. And then we're also going to dive into what the Sox might possibly do these winter meetings. Will they do anything?
No.
Is the big question. And if you heard that no, that's from Lawrence Benedetto, our producer today.
Hi, guys.
Shout out to the Law Dog. And hey, you're doing your own solo shows back in the lockdown Sox days, basically,
yeah.
Yesterday.
That was tough. I mean, after a while, I just started just rambling about my thoughts about this team and how bad it is. But yeah, I enjoyed myself. I don't want to do it ever again because it was tough to do. But yeah, this team is depressing, and so I had to let some feelings out, and I hope I didn't depress you people out there too much that you have joined us now for a little bit more sunshine. I'm going to be a little bit more, this much more positive today than I was on yesterday's show, this morning's show.
Herbie Sunshine and Mike Clevinger. Mike Sunshine Clevinger. There you go. So you two guys are going to be lining up perfectly well. Shout out to Matt, Miguel, Fred, Marcos, all hang out with us here in the YouTube chat. If you are watching right now, make sure you hit the like button, subscribe to our CHGO Sports YouTube channel. And two, if you're not watching and you're listening to this on the podcast, make sure you give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast service you are listening on, whether that be Spotify or iTunes. It does help us out a ton. I guess Apple Podcasts, I use Spotify, so that's why I'm saying iTunes. But let's talk about some big baseball news today. We've been waiting for some of the larger dominoes to fall, and they have started to crumble. Justin Verlander to the Mets on a 2-year, $86 million contract. And Trey Turner, the first of the shortstops to fall off the market, 11 years to the Phillies for $300 million. What do you make of the two deals? Where do you want to start?
I want to start with the Trey Turner one first because, as somebody astutely pointed out in my comments section, I think it was Jeremy, I don't know how to say his last name, it starts with L. He's like, Sox fans would say, hey, getting a guy like Bryce Harper for all that money would handicap the White Sox for future contracts, so it was good that they didn't get him and or, you know, Manny Machado for all that money. And then the Phillies are like, okay, cool. Here's JT Realmuto. Here's Kyle Schwarber. Here's Nicholas Castellanos. Here's Mr. Wheeler. And now Trey Turner. They have no problem, and they just went to the World Series with giving big-time contracts to try to win out there in Philadelphia. And we've compared the Phillies, especially last year, to the White Sox, the National League version of the White Sox, but there's no comparison. They go out and their owner is invested in winning. Their general manager invested in winning. And they don't give a damn if they already got a shortstop. They don't give a damn if it's, you know, prohibitive money, which $27 million annual average value is not that prohibitive. To get a shortstop of Trey Turner's ilk, that's the cost. And they're paying him just as much as they're paying Bryce Harper. And I think their contracts and their years match up, or I think Trey Turner has one more year. But it's great to be a Phillies fan, to be a Mets fan, to be a Rangers fan, because your ownership has shown you that you're going after it. And even if you fall short, you can't look back and say, owner, general manager, didn't want it. That's what we have constantly on our plate with the White Sox. What could have been, what should have been, and you see other teams doing the things that your team should be doing.
Shout out to our guy Stefan Bardo in the chat for the super chat. Right now, our outfield of Robert, Sheets, and Colas equals 75 wins, which you're not wrong about, but at least none of the big dominoes in the outfield have fallen yet. But you bring up some of those, the fact of prohibitive contracts, and you bring up the DeGrom one, 185 for 5 years. The Rangers have been doing this my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were the first team to ever do this back with A-Rod for $252 million for 10 years. Yep. So, and they're not prohibited. They just went out and signed Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. How do they follow that up? They go out and spend $185 million on DeGrom. And here's the thing. Over those years, when they signed A-Rod to here, they clearly have spent more money on free agents, right? I mean, billions and billions of dollars on free agents. Yeah. They don't have a single World Series.
Nope.
The White Sox do. Right? Does that mean anything? Does that correlate to anything? Obviously not, because I think the Rangers just have a bad proponent to spending and spending on the wrong guys. But if the White Sox did go out and get Harper or Machado right now, we really wouldn't be in a position saying these guys are handicapping the team, where even Grandal, the largest contract right now in team history, that looks like it might be handicapping the team. And you know, I didn't hate the move when it happened, no. But the only way to, you know, have it stop handicapping yourself is to either spend money to cut bait, which I don't know if they should do with Grandal right now, or to keep spending money so that those guys don't have to really have all of that brunt on their shoulders. And hey, you brought up the $27 million too to Trey Turner. What did you just talk about on yesterday's podcast? $30 million coming to these owners with BAM Tech money. Mm-hmm. So they basically just used their BAM Tech money to sign Trey Turner.
Yeah.
And you know, for a year at least.
Yeah, and just like, that's all it is. And when you hear these people who are White Sox apologists, they'll say they spent the full contract money. So last year, they'll bring up the whole contract length of Kendall Graveman's contract. Same thing with Joe Kelly. Same thing with Harrison and Lurie Garcia. They'll say the White Sox in this offseason spent $80 million. No, they didn't. They spent individually $5 million, $9 million, $7 million, and $5 million. That's it. And Trey Turner is getting paid off of this BAM Tech money. And the Phillies know that they have much more money to spend on free agents if they need to. The money is in each of these owners' pockets. They'll lie to you until they're blue in the face. Jerry Reinsdorf has money. And what's up, Bruhan Luke? What's going on? I don't know if you saw my pick this week where I picked Tulane and UCF to go over in the American Conference Final. You're welcome, people who enjoyed the money.
Oh, were you on?
I was a big guest picker for
picks.
The,
nice.
For the from the 108 picks. Yeah, definitely. But they all have money, and so don't let them lie to you and say we're at this budget and we can't spend at the levels that other teams can. Now, the Mets supposedly have the most money because their owner is the richest guy. But each and every one of these guys and these teams have a lot of money. And Jerry Reinsdorf and Rick Hahn are lying to you every single time that they say, we don't have it, or we want to stay at this point. It's not even prohibitive to go into the collective or to the competitive balance tax. Not even at all. So it's frustrating to see teams like the Texas Rangers doing things that your team should be doing, and then having White Sox fans who are like, well, where are they going to finish, third or fourth place in the AL West? Yes, but they're trying to finish in first place. The White Sox are just hoping and praying that they roll dice and finally that Cleveland comes back down to them and they finally find a way to have 99 percentile from all their players and 99 percentile health.
And look at their division, too. I mean, obviously, those teams have gotten it in different ways. Seattle threw a ton of great trades. And, you know, they have Julio Rodriguez, who they were able to sign. The Astros have been to the World Series 4 out of the 6 past years. Like, yep. The Rangers need to spend just to be competitive in that division. The White Sox, if they spend, and they were the only team to really spend last year, they finished 81-81. I mean, that just, to me, shows the signs of organizational issues. But, you know, I think that's a different discussion. But
and then you're talking about the Mets. We got a reunion of former Detroit Tigers pitching out there in New York. The Cy Young Award winner, AL Comeback Player of the Year, is out there. Justin Verlander. Both old. There's geriatric pitchers out there in New York, but you can't tell that those guys are the older pitchers. Justin's going to be 40 next year. I don't know how Scherzer's going to be. He's going to be in his upper 30s.
38. Not,
yeah.
40 for Verlander, 38 for Scherzer.
They're going to be dominating still, and they're paying them as such. You can't tell me that these teams aren't trying to do whatever they need to do to win the World Series. And it's good to see that Justin Verlander just didn't, like, rest on his laurels and say, you know what, I'll just go back to Houston. They're going to, you know, he opted out of that deal. Now he's getting a lot more money or a little bit more money out there in New York, reunited with his guy, Max Scherzer. And that team is ready to win, too. So it's good that other teams are recognizing that they have, they're flush with cash and it's just money. And this is the easiest way, besides drafting correctly and developing your talent, to acquire good talent. The White Sox want to go the hard route with not spending any free agent money and trying to trade for good talent.
And not developing the talent they get.
Exactly.
Nick Madrigal, up to the majors. Andrew Vaughn, up to the majors. Hey, Garrett Crochet, up to the majors. Funny about Verlander, too, I just think back to last offseason with Bob Nightingale tweeting out, the Chicago White Sox, who plan to be aggressive this winter, who ended up signing, what, Vince Velasquez, are showing strong interest in free agent Justin Verlander. Plenty of steep competition for the future Hall of Famer with the Astros still trying to bring him back. And I know people hate when we belabor on this point of the White Sox not spending. I know our guy AJ has brought this up many times in the YouTube comment, but right now this is just the facts of the Sox. Like Verlander, who the Sox were in quote-unquote contention with, how much you ever want to believe that, because he signed immediately with the Astros, like right after Bob tweeted that. But if hilarious. The White Sox were in contention for Verlander this year, that would have meant a record contract that they ever gave him out for 2 years, $86 million. They've never gone over the $80 million mark. So I don't know. Like, if you want to scroll up, Lawrence, there was a comment that I think said, scroll down a little bit. Right there from Antonio. Nobody wants to come from Chicago. Our owner's GM needs to want it. And I don't know if it's that. Like, you just got to be able to play ball. And like Herb's saying, like, players know you have this money. Trey Turner, the first to sign out of all of these shortstops, why did he sign? Because of that $300 million number. It's the same reason why Manny Machado signed. It's the same reason why he didn't sign in Chicago, was because they tried to mess around and not give him that $300 full up. They tried to go, you know, whatever the report was, $282 or whatever, plus incentives. Like, the White Sox have just never went out and fully committed to some of these bigger names. When they go out and commit to a lower name like Mike Clevinger, they're able to do it because, again, they were really the only ones competing for Clevinger at that time. So I don't really know if it's the White Sox or people not wanting to come to Chicago. I think it's just the White Sox way of going out and getting these bigger players has just been wrong. Their plan of attack has just been all off.
And I get it, people. Connor needs Vinny's positivity. What's there to be positive about? Please, please. I want to be positive. And Antonio's not wrong. They don't want to come to Chicago, but we heard from Bryce Harper when he was a free agent. He was like, you heard about Chicago, you think Wrigley. You think, oh, that'll be a good time to go there. And he didn't really know about guaranteed rate. But he knew the players. He knew Jose. He knew the young players. And if the White Sox would have come to him with a good deal, I'm sure he would have thought about it. He would have signed here. If you offer them equal money, they'll come here. But please, if any of you guys have some positivity, I'm here for it. We'll talk about sunshine a little bit later with Mike Clevinger. There's the positive thing. But think about how positive that is. Like, I was saying this on yesterday's show. Like, we have to be, like, downshifting where we want to be just because we know if we have our head in the clouds of lofty things like getting Aaron Judge, getting the top free agent, we're going to be sorely disappointed each and every time. Excuse me. So it's more of we're happy to get any scraps like Mike Clevinger in our championship window. He's a fifth starter. And we're supposed to be happy about that? That's what I'm talking about. Like, we're out here begging for Cody Bellinger, who just got released by the goddamn Dodgers, begging for a player like that. Well, we should be begging for even a slightly better player than that in Brandon Nimmo, and we know we're not even going to be in that market. That's where we're at right now. So you show me where the positivity should be, where it's at. I'll find it and I'll talk about it. Let Rick Hahn do something and then let's be positive. Let's not just pat him on the back. Oh, Mike Clevenger, good job, kid. No, let him do something.
Well,
and then we'll be positive about something.
And I think he agrees with you because, again, he said at the end of the year press conference that this team needs to win back the trust of the fans. Our guy Lee Greer, FBI. The fact that it's backwards always just, yeah. I was trying to say Eel Griegerg earlier. It just, yeah. It's Lee Greer. Super chat. Thank you for the super chat, Mr. FBI agent. Harper and Machado look like steals right now. And we've talked about this. The what you pay for war, right? What you pay per war? I think it was about like $8 million per war. If you take Harper's 2021 season, not his 2022 season, he still put up 2 WAR in 99 games. He was fantastic. But if you take his last full season in 2021, 6.6 WAR, and you divide that by $26 million, what he made, he's giving you basically about 3.9 million dollars per each war. Mm-hmm. Machado, it's $4 million per each war. So basically, what you want to do is sign people for $8 million for the war that they're going to give. Harper basically is a discount, like half of that is, you know, he's worth more than what he signed for. And if the White Sox didn't mess around, they wouldn't really have to worry about Moncada holding back third base as well, because he wouldn't be their third baseman right now. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple, they wouldn't have gotten that extension in 2020.
And I'm sure the money is what the deciding factor was for Trey Turner. But it doesn't hurt that he has his former teammate there in Philadelphia to welcome him in, a team that just went to the World Series. Like, having Bryce Harper, having Trey Turner is a great thing for them. And so, yeah, they understand. And those owners, was John Middleton and that group, they understand that getting to the World Series, being a good team, gets the concession stands, gets the people in the stands, makes money that way, gets you to sell merchandise, gets the fan base hyped up. Your flagship goes up, your TV ratings go up. All the things happen when your team is good. And so,
well, it happened with the Sox too, because in 2021, yeah. I mean, like, they were so proud of their post game being one of the top rated shows, like even better than the game.
Yeah.
I forget which game that was, but I think it was like the Astros series. Like, they were so proud of that. They were just third in hats sold, and they just had 2 million people in the stadium. So you're 100% right that every ownership would look at this and be like, oh, let's increase money. Let's spend more money. Mm-hmm. The White Sox just had all three of that happen, and now we're talking about what the budget might look like. Mm-hmm. And there's some reports saying that it might not even be cut down. Like right now, I think the Sox are at 171. Mm-hmm. There's talks that they might be able to spend $20 more million, which I think could be all right for their offseason.
Yeah, and I made that point. Like, if you have $20 more million, which we're acquiescing to what they want, it's going to be corner outfielder, like the four I named yesterday, and Bellinger, Benintendi, Joey Gallo, or going to get Michael Conforto. Those all can fit underneath the $20 million. If you get some of them are going to cost a little bit more, so you can't get that second baseman to also supplement, but there's not a lot of good second baseman out there on the market. So if they just spent money on one or two of those guys, White Sox fans would be happy. They'll be content. That's all they have to do, and that's the thing. They probably won't. Like, Joey Gallo would make us, most of us in White Sox fandom, feel elated.
Mm-hmm.
Man, power lefty bat, finally. I know some people will be like, oh, he's just Gavin Sheets. Stop it. Please, Jesus, stop it. Gavin Sheets is a good player. He's on the precipice of being a 4A player and a major league player. Good second half. Joey Gallo is better than Gavin Sheets. Much better.
Yeah, I mean, he's proven it.
And the field is a thing, too. So just a small, small, small sliver of hope, and we'll all be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, and Sheets, too. Most home runs in a year, 124 games, 15 home runs. Gallo's hit 15 home runs basically every single year except, what, 2020? I mean, he's hit 40 twice. So, I mean, not even the same players. You're 100% right about that. And we'll get a little bit more into what we could see at the winter meetings when Ryan Herrera joins us from San Diego in just a second. And since he's down there in San Diego, you know it. I mean, you know San Diego weather. It's probably bright and sunny out there. So right.
75 degrees, sunshine.
He's probably rocking a Shady Rays. Shady Rays never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this fall because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Get it? Like shade.
I see what you did there.
Shady Razor Premium Polarized Shade. It's featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. They just sent a couple pairs over to the CHGO crew, and I think our guy Jake was the one handing them all out, and it felt like when he was going through them that everyone got a different style. So every single person who picked up a Shady Rays pair, all were able to get the style that fitted their swag. Their look. Oh, there you go. And the best part about Shader is,
don't ask me. You're the young one.
They have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. If you dropped in a lake, off a cliff, anything, they'll replace them. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54 and redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find their newest and best shades. These are the best sunglasses that I have owned in a very, very long time. And again, you can buy one, get one free for as low as $54 at ShadyRays.com.
AJ says drip is what the kids say.
Drip. Thank you, AJ. I forgot about that. Yeah. We do have a super chat here from our guy Herman as well. No Gallo, get Belly, and I'm happy. What if they don't get either? What if it's Conforto or Nimmo?
Shit. I'm even happier. If they get Nimmo, oh my goodness.
If they get Nimmo, I mean,
we're cooking with gas.
Well, think about it. If they're at 190... they just need to get to be about like 192, 193 to get Nimmo. I mean, if they have 20, they might not address second base, but you get the left-right fielder that we've always wanted. So
yeah, and if they do that, I mean, I've seen the food accounts on Twitter, the breaded steak and the Comiskey dog, say that Rick
Portillo's
Hahn
hamburger
has gone to Jerry Reinsdorf and asked him for a little bit more on the budget, and hopefully Jerry says yeah. He's looking at his BAM Tech money. He's counting it while he's in his Scrooge McDuck swimming pool. And he says, go ahead. Let you have your tartar sauce. And he gives him the extra money to sign Nimmo, Bellinger, or Conforto.
Wait, that reference, I know it. He had no idea what it was.
Give them their tartar sauce.
Is that... That's what's his name from The Simpsons. That's it Mr. is. Mr. Burns, right?
Mr. Burns. Montgomery Burns, let them have their tartar sauce.
The fish sticks in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm. I've been catching up on Simpsons, but yeah, I can't just pull that off the top of my
head. Like first five seasons for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm more of like a 5 to 10 guy rather than a 1 through 5 guy. The early animation, it's kind of too rough for me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was real rough. It was real ugly. Tracy Ullman Simpsons characters, woof.
Yeah.
They're ugly.
Looked like I drew them.
Yes. You a good drawer?
No. Not at all.
Mercy.
Little sister Kinesis.
Nice.
Then also, too, because there was no... let me see.
Are you looking for an ad read?
I was looking for a certain tweet from our guy, James Fox. Okay. Because you mentioned all the food accounts, but I think there was a tweet from James specifically that mentioned that the Sox might even go over 190. Oh, the White Sox should have plenty of money. If you set the opening day payroll at 190, I'll still take the over. So James, you know, still thinks that the White Sox could go over that 190, which would allow them to sign a guy like Brandon Nimmo if that was possible. So, I mean, just to go away from some of the food accounts, there's some people with White Sox connections that say it could be over 190.
And just for the people who don't know, James is plugged in. He had the extensions of what?
Pinch Weed, I think, is on Luis Robert.
Luis Robert, he had that before everybody else, and so he's plugged in. He knows people who know people, and so believe what James has to say there at Future Sox and other places. He's a good guy.
And
thorough.
He would take the over. Doesn't mean it will happen. But
shout
again,
out to the Big Lebowski.
Just interesting to see someone with actual, clout say that.
And his name on it, too.
Right. And we just heard the ding, which means Ryan Herrera will be joining us. But GameTime is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easy ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. If you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could, 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert, it is possible with the GameTime app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you never thought you could buy. You won't find a better deal this season on Blackhawks or Bulls tickets. If you're trying to stay warm this holiday season, head over to the United Center and buy your tickets on GameTime. It's created by the fans for the fans, and it guarantees the lowest price out there. So if you see a lower price for that section, hit up the people at Game Time and they will give your money back 110% guaranteed. And if you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. All right, let's go out to Ryan Herrera in San Diego, who is at the 2022 winter meetings for All-CHGO. We're also with the All-City Network. We got a DNVR and PHNX out there. You can follow Ryan on Twitter, at Ryan_A_Herrera. What's up, Ryan?
How's it going, gents? How you guys doing?
Very good. And Ryan just had a recent chat with Mike Clevenger over Zoom. You guys, Patrick, Jesse, and yourself talked about it in your Airbnb. A lot of interesting quotes out there, but covering the Sox in the winter meetings right now, how's it been so far, even though it's been a day?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I should like have grown a mustache for this so I can like fill in the Vinny part like correctly. No, it's good. We're getting, I believe we're talking to Rick Hahn later on today, so we'll have to maybe bring some of that stuff in tomorrow's show. We'll get a new manager Pedro Grifol tomorrow. I don't remember the exact time, but I believe it's also after the show. A lot of things are happening after the show. I kind of caught on to that.
Thanks, no, West Coast time.
Yeah, exactly. It's been good. It's been a little hectic, especially that Trey Turner news dropping the other a couple hours ago. Trey Turner of the Phillies, that kind of sent a few people into a rush. Got the word spread pretty quickly around here, but no, it's been going well. San Diego's beautiful. I wish you guys were here to see it.
Me too.
Instead of being in cold Chicago, but yeah.
Ryan, I just want to know, like, none of us or most of us have never been to a winter meetings. What's the layout? I heard the GM meetings is more private. It's like more setting up of deals for this winter meetings. Is it like in a big, huge open area where GMs and front office people are just out and about mingling and such? What's the atmosphere in that hotel / convention center?
Yeah, I mean, the layout is basically like the team conventions where it's this big, gigantic, hotel. Our media workroom, like the big ballrooms that they have, like they have all the tables for media and stuff. I think they have a podium for managers, I believe, set up in there. But it's all that. And you got in the front room, there's people, hundreds of people walking in and out of the doors, in and out of the lobby. And that's basically the lay of the land. It's just people everywhere. There's a lot of people. I've never seen it outside of like the Cubs convention. I've never seen this many people in like one little hotel. And then I would have to assume all the front office personnel are up in the suites and stuff, not refusing to come down. So they're not mobbed by reporters, but yeah, that's the lay of the land. You go to, I guess Sox Fest is canceled again this year for you guys, but like, types of conventions like that, you could kind of get an idea of what it would look like with just people everywhere.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people around. So what's the rumors like? I mean, did you hear stuff about Trey Turner and Philly possibly linking up before that was tweeted out, Verlander, or has it been just kind of quiet all across the MLB this winter meeting so far?
Yeah, I mean, the Trey Turner, I mean, of course we knew that Trey Turner was, linked to the Phillies beforehand. But as far as like the deal happening today, how it did, 11 years, $300 million, I think it was. Like that kind of came out of nowhere. And that's why, like, when I mentioned, like, it kind of set people into a frenzy a little bit because people, checking their phones, like, oh my God, Trey Turner, Phillies, like that kind of stuff. Verlander, same thing. And that happened, even earlier. But that's like, it is kind of funny when you think about it. Like, the rumors, I guess, are maybe kept a little quieter somehow. But then you have two of, like, the top three or four free agents off the board within hours of each other. Like, that's how quickly. Things happen when everyone's in one room, agents, GMs, presidents, whatever, when they're all in one room and able to hammer it out that way, that's how quickly these deals can come to fruition. So I'm not that we had heard the rumors trickling throughout the reporters throughout the day. It just makes more sense that they kind of just dropped very quickly as they got the deal done.
As we look at Twitter sphere, there's of course rumors about people the White Sox are interested in. Are there any rumors that have been trickling through the reporters and saying, okay, the White Sox are looking and talking to this agent about maybe this player, player X, player Y? Is there anything out there that White Sox fans can be like, okay, maybe they're out here doing things? Because I know the White Sox would love to have you think that they're trying things, even when they do fail on signing a player.
Yeah, and I mean, specifically for me, I have not heard anything. Of course, I'm not Vinny. Vinny may have a little more word on that. We wish he was here with me. But, like I said, we are talking to Rick later on today. Obviously, they have announced officially the Clevenger signing yesterday. So when you look at that, it may be the rotation is kind of done. maybe another minor move to add maybe a lefty into the rotation would make sense. But I think you could picture like them going after any of those like mid-tier free agent starting pitchers, probably done. I know there's holes all over the field. Vinny's been writing at allchgo.com, kind of trying to figure out the left field and all, you know, just basically all the outfield positions because it's not really clear on that. But yeah, we're talking to Rick. Of course, we'll talk about, you know, Jose Abreu going down to Houston, Clevenger signing with the White Sox, and then hopefully from there can get a little bit better of an idea of the kind of where the priorities lie for the White Sox at this point. This is the winter meetings. It's very, a lot going on. Deals are going to be made here, and if the White Sox sit too long, the deal they may want may not be there for much longer, you know. So hopefully we kind of get an idea of where the priorities are for this team for this week while they're in San Diego.
Yeah, yesterday it became very clear that Mike Clevenger was a priority for, and you got somebody walking in your shot. Mike Clevenger was a priority for the White Sox, and they went out and signed him. He talked a little bit about that, but what was the main vibe you got from Clevenger?
The main vibe I got from Clevenger is he's really excited to go pitch on the mound at Guaranteed Rate Field. Apparently, he really likes that mound. He said so himself that when he was at Cleveland, and trying, you know, working his way up, building himself up, progressing as a major league pitcher. And he said, I don't remember exactly when he said it clicked, but he felt whatever what he was trying to work on click while he was on that mound. And so from then he's loved the White Sox mound. So that's one thing that Mike Clevenger done. But he mentioned that knowing, seeing the pieces that the White Sox do have, and it's something that we talk about all the time, that the White Sox have the pieces, right? They have good, solid players. They just haven't put them together in the right way. They haven't, just things haven't worked out. And that's what he mentioned. He knows that, when you look at the rotation, Giolito could have a bounce back year this year. Lance Lynn, Dylan Cease, those kind of guys can lead a pretty great rotation if they kind of putting all the things together at the same time. But then you got guys around the field, Andrew Vaughn, Eloy Jimenez, like really good players. This team could be, what happened in 2022 doesn't have to be what happens in 2023. And he knows that, and he thinks, he kind of talked about, like, this is a roster that I fit in well with, that I feel like I can gel with and vibe with, but also is a roster that can compete, and that's what he wants to do. He said he knows, the White Sox just from having been in the division for so long with Cleveland, and he knows, Ethan Katz from a previous relationship, so that I think there could be a very quick comfortability factor. With Clevenger, he said it was the White Sox didn't wait. One of the things that drew him to the White Sox is they didn't wait to see how the market went. They came and they gave him an offer, and he liked that. And he knew that it was a place he wanted to be at, and so he signed really quickly. I was going to say like that. So that's where that comfortability factor comes in. It feels like the adjustment may not take as long, just because he know some people in the organization. He knows the organization itself, having been on a rival team for so long. And it's a place he wants to be at. So, it's not going to be a tough thing for him to kind of merge with this team in gel.
And usually when you get a big time signing, like you got with Trey Turner signing with the Phillies today, the other shortstops are soon to follow as he has set the market for himself. Is there any rumors about the three other guys who are out there as the big-time shortstops signing, or any other deals out there rumored that might be percolating and getting done either tonight or tomorrow?
Well, we know, yesterday one of the Red Sox, one of the reporters that covers the Red Sox, had kind of linked the Cubs to the Xander Bogaerts, saying that they were going to offer him a deal. We haven't got any update on that. We don't know. Haven't heard anything else on that. Since that tweet came out, but like you mentioned, the Trey Turner thing, like that market, once the first domino falls, a lot of the other dominoes fall pretty quickly in line after that. So you have Carlos Correa, who we know Carlos Correa has a lot of suitors. Same thing with Xander Bogaerts, same thing in Dansby Swanson. Those are the three that are left on the market. And if the first domino falls, that's the market. They may be quick to come off the board too. So not even just the Cubs, but there are, eight plus teams that are looking at shortstops. There's going to be a few that get left out if they don't kind of jump the market now and take advantage of the time they have now to lock one of those guys in. As far as starting pitchers, we know Jameson Taillon has a lot of his market has, I guess, heated up recently, the last couple of days. A lot of teams like what they see out of him. Probably like the price range of where they could get him as a mid-tier starter, I would say. Maybe like right around three, your number three starter. But like guys like him, Chris Bassett, those guys. Even Kodai Senga is probably a little higher on that tier, but in the same tier. But those are all starting pitchers that now that Justin Verlander is off the market, and Jacob DeGrom, obviously, you're slowly getting closer to that tier of pitchers. And that's nothing to say about Carlos Rodon, old Sox friend Carlos Rodon, who is now of those three starting pitchers that included DeGrom and Verlander, he's the only one left on the market. So someone looking for a frontline starter, that's probably their only option. And so maybe that kind of works in his favor a little bit. As like a team that wants that ace starter, they may have to pony up a little bit to get him.
Rick Hahn will be speaking in about 2 hours down at the winter meetings in San Diego. You can follow Ryan Herrera on Twitter at Ryan_A_Herrera. Final question for you, Ryan, at least from me. What's the big question to Rick Hahn? Little talking point here. I mean, is it going to be Clevenger, you think? Is it going to be Abreu? What do you expect from Rick Hahn on day one here?
I think just because of how recently things have happened, Abreu and Clevenger may be bigger talking points. But you know how these things go. It will eventually, evolve into asking Rick Hahn how he plans on fixing some of the holes in the roster, or the left field question. That'll probably be a big one. How are you going to address left field? How are you going to address the rest of the holes in the roster? How these press conferences go. You could start it one way, but it always comes down to what are you going to do next year to figure it out.
I lied. Can you ask him specifically about Brandon Nimmo? You're not going to be asking him a lot of questions. You're more of a Cubs guy. So, hey, just go in there and just ask him straight up, what do you think of Brandon Nimmo? And maybe he'll give you an answer.
I don't think he'll give an answer, but we'll see.
No, I don't think he'll give an answer, too. Make sure, though, you follow Ryan on Twitter to see anything that Rick Hahn does say out of the winter meetings today. Again, on Twitter, at Ryan_A_Herrera. Got anything else for our guy, Ryan?
No, you guys got the same setup for your Twitter thing.
Yeah, first name, middle initial, last name.
Yeah.
Yeah, with underscores all over the place.
And, Ryan, the most important question, have you had a California burrito yet?
I have not had a California burrito yet. We'll be trying one. Actually, I was told by one Uber driver that this place called like Tacos El Gordo is the best tacos in San Diego.
You get some Al Pastor tacos from Tacos El Gordo. There's a bunch of Tacos El Gordo.
Wait, what about the carne asada fries? That's what I told you to get.
Carne asada fries? See, Lawrence, I told you to put a list together and send it to me. I need that. I need that so I can check them off.
I swear I sent you the links to both those places I told you to. Whatever.
You can get carne asada fries also at Tacos El Gordo.
Okay, sounds good.
You got 2 hours until Rick Hahn speaks, so go get some carne asada fries. There you go, Ryan.
Well, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Again, follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan_A_Herrera. And he is our CHGO Cubs White Sox reporter today down for All City Network.
And Matthew McGorry, I literally, before Ryan left Chicago, I think I talked to him on Thursday. I was like, ask Rick Hahn why they canceled Sox Fest. Because this is the first real time that the media gets to talk to him in a public setting where it's no specific agenda. Mm-hmm. And Ryan already has that in his pocket. I hope he asked that question. I didn't want to reiterate it here on the air as I've already asked him in person. So, well, yeah.
I mean, I guess what was the GM meetings he spoke? And I guess he really didn't have an agenda there and wasn't asked. Because I'm trying to think back the couple press conferences. The last one they had was but to announce was like, Griffol's staff and then to announce Pedro. But there was that GM meeting in between there. I don't think anyone asked him. I mean, what do we expect the answer to be, though? Like, due to complications, we were not able to do. I mean, they're scared. The Cubs can put on the convention. The White Sox should be able to put on their convention. I don't know. Anyways, thank you, Ryan, again for joining us from San Diego.
Matthew Lucas, what's Sox Fest?
I've never been.
What's superimposed?
It seems overhyped, but it's still important for fans.
I, as a media member, it's kind of like you see in the sausage being made. So I don't get hyped up. More like I'm not a journalist, but I am still in the media, and so we worked at the Score. We would go to a couple Sox Fest as we were the flagship at the time. Cool for people who don't usually see these players to see them, press the flesh, get an autograph from a Michael Kopech back in the day. It was Jose Contreras and other players, El Duque, all those people. It's a fun time to meet other like-minded White Sox fans, see the players, go to the whole like fans bitching to Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams and other front office members, they used to have those sessions where it was a free for all. It was awesome. And, you know, you look forward to it. And then you would go to the 108, go to Reggie's, and enjoy some more time with like-minded White Sox fans, which we're still doing. The 108's going to have their 108 Fest, I think, on 107, so January 7th. And I'll be there as a late panelist with Josh Nelson. I think Lawrence Holmes is also on that panel, and maybe Russ Dorsey. But it's an awesome time, and the White Sox just hate their fans so much they took away something after a crappy year where they could have said, hey, we're trying to win back our fans. And they're like, you know what? Fuck the thing that you guys love the most in January. We're taking that shit away, too.
Right. And, I mean, even, too, when we were the flagship of the Cubs, I got to hang out with Pat Hughes one day and just follow him around. And, like, there was booths of Pat Hughes signing all of his merchandise and stuff, but so many people were so excited to see him because he called the World Series, obviously, and that final call. But, I mean, even with Jason Benetti and Steve Stone, like, people love those two. And they'd be so excited just to see those guys, not even yell at Rick Hahn, like, just enjoy all parts of their fandom. So, yeah, it's crappy. And I don't think there's any good reason. So Rick Hahn, I don't think will answer that question.
See who's watching us?
Casey?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Hey, Casey watching us.
Our social media
should
manager.
Never
Shout
be canceled for any team, period.
Not even for her Cleveland Guardians.
Nope.
She's from Cleveland.
Yeah, so I don't know what their explanation is, but it's never a good one to cancel a fan fest. It's Sox Fan Fest, and they cancel it. Yeah. And as somebody put, Matthew Lucas, Sox Fest is over, I fear. I don't think they're going to come back. There's no reason for them to come back.
I would be kind of shocked. I mean, we'd have to look up every single team in every single Big Four market and wonder if, like, what teams don't have Fan Fest. Because I know the Blackhawks do. I know the Cubs do. I know the Bears do.
Mm-hmm.
So would the White Sox be the only team without a Fan Fest? I mean, that'd be an awful look. I don't know if they'll cancel it straight up. We do got to get into our final little ad break here, and then we'll go talk a little bit about Mike Clevenger. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve. And they mean it. I was on a walk in my community, and boom, there they are. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. The trucks out on the streets, and they are managing energy usage and lowering energy bills now into the future. ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across our territory. And customers can inquire about how to upgrade outdated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights. Learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device and track your facility's energy usage and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor-outdoor lighting and network lighting controls, making these projects even more cost-effective than ever before. So visit comed.com/poweringbiz, that's B-I-Z, now to start saving money and energy. And to start a project, contact us at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, email businessee@comed.com or publicsectoree@comed.com. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Again, comed.com/poweringbiz. That is B-I-Z. And our next partners are Foco.
Hold on. What's that jacket? What is it?
Yeah. Bear starter.
Oh, snap.
I was going to mention the way the photo, I feel like it's something, it looks like Sean's a giant.
Yeah.
The way that photo is taken, the way you're like tilting your head a little bit, like,
it's a short bus. It's a tiny car.
Yeah.
It's not like a truck. It's a little van. Like, I don't know. It was an odd shaped truck that the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is. I'm only 5'8" for reference.
They are energy efficient on their choice of cars
too. There you go.
Maybe that's it. Maybe the compactor it is, the more energy efficient. And also, speaking of the Bear starter jacket, I last wore that out to the tailgate. We had, and at the tailgate, we had some Foco stuff that people were showing off. Chicago, you've already got the best coverage of your favorite teams, so get fitted in the best sports gear around. Foco has you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, and bobbleheads, and everything in between. They had these nice pullover, like, hoodies, like fleece lining blankets and stuff that you could wear from Foco. And they had all different Bears designs. So definitely go out and check them at Foco.com. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leaders in sports merch and collectibles, Foco. That's F-O-C-O. And if you're looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life, Foco's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. Check out Foco.com or click the link in the description below. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. And there's Herb with one of their great designs. And it's a fleece hood right there. And keep you warm. warm, whether you're inside or outside.
I can put it on if you want me to sweat for like 10 minutes. No, this is nice and heavy.
It also is reversible. There's a logo on the inside as well.
Look at that.
You look a little bit like a sheep, but it looks cool.
So check out foco.com. We'll click the link in the description below for online pre-sale items. Use promo code CHGO for 10% off.
I was at the tailgate yesterday, and I think one of our diehards, I think Mortar Score.
Austin.
Is he the one who won it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted one of these big-ass things. And I looked at him, I was like, man, it looks warm as hell. He's like, it is. It's great. I could feel the fur inside of that. If I put this on, I would combust.
Yeah.
I'm already a sweater.
I'd pass out here, but you needed it when you were working by the computer.
Yeah,
it's
a little chilly out there in the cold brick wall area.
Okay. Well, and you were working on the tank standings for the Bears and the Hawks. The White Sox technically didn't tank this past year. They just sucked. Jeff Passan, though, tweeting out that the MLB draft lottery is taking place Tuesday at 8:30 p.m., and this is the first draft lottery, and all non-playoff teams are in the draft lottery, which includes the Chicago White Sox. If we go over to tankathon.com, Washington has the top odds. Oakland and Pittsburgh have the top odds, all at 16.5% to get the number one pick. But Herb, doing all my simulations and stuff, it's really tough to see the White Sox moving up, clicking the sim lottery button. I did see the Sox get up all the way to 5 in this one. I just had the Orioles have the number one pick, and they have very similar odds, if not worse, than the White Sox. So it's possible the Sox could get the first overall pick, but it does seem like they're probably going to be picking in the 15 to 17 range, depending how this all lands out,
as they want to do, because they are just a mediocre team. So I'm glad the Major League Baseball has switched to this process. It gives teams a chance who didn't make the playoffs to get the first pick overall. It's not always going to be going to those Pittsburgh Pirates or the teams that are at the bottom of the rung all the time, and they're not spending any money, and they're trying to get these players, and then they get 4 years into the league, and they're like, I want to be traded like Brian Reynolds. So it gives teams like the White Sox and other teams that just missed the playoffs a chance to get a top pick. And as we were discussing earlier, the White Sox last first overall pick where he signed was Hall of Famer Harold Baines. It's been a minute.
And not a lot of just top five picks overall for the White Sox. We were going through it. And their actual top five history is pretty decent. They haven't had a ton of busts. Most recent was Carlos Rodon. Most recent was Andrew Vaughn. And then the most recent before that was Carlos Rodon. So, pretty decent. But do you think they'll rig it or anything? I mean, I see Alex saying, I hope they rig it. We did see the White Sox or the Bulls end up getting D Rose. There's D Rose, I guess, in this draft. But do you think the White Sox or any team would be benefited from a rigging of the draft lottery?
I mean, I just said Nick Magical too.
I'm glad I forgot that one.
It was terrible. The White Sox, as I just talked about, Harold Baines getting into the Hall of Fame. How he got into the Hall of Fame was Tony La Russa and Jerry Reinsdorf standing on the table and saying, "My player's got to get in." If you could do that for Harold Baines, do it for the draft lottery. Might as well. Hell, you're the chairman emeritus. You're going to be the best and biggest owner on that staff. And who's going to say no? You're the White Sox. You need to get players via either the draft and develop them or via the trade, because you're not going to get them through a free agency. So use your power, chairman. You got Harold Baines in the Hall of Fame undeservedly. He's a great player, not a Hall of Fame player, but now you can use it for the betterment of the team in the future.
Well, last time he tried to use his power, he tried not to have Steve Cohen be the Mets owner, and he was the only one on that side of the aisle. Herman's got a super chat here. If I only saw White Sox Twitter, I'd not face White Sox stands either.
White Sox fans.
Yeah, right. Like he's saying if he was Rick Hahn, if I only saw White Sox Twitter, I'd not want to face the people that would show up for Sox Fest. But, I mean, that's
part of the job.
That's every fan base, too. I mean, the White Sox aren't worse than any other fan base. Like, the White Sox Twitter is just as bad as Yankee Twitter as well. And it's honestly probably worse because there's more people. It's not that bad. And I don't think if the White Sox are avoiding for that single reason, I doubt it.
And it's weak. Very weak. You created the atmosphere of White Sox Twitter. This is, I think, an isolated thing. And I do think White Sox fans are different than other fans, because other fans get fed something at least every once in a while. White Sox fans don't. They get fed scraps, and we've got to be happy with it. And you can see, like, in this whole conversation in the thread, people bouncing back or rustling back against us because we're talking negatively. People saying Yeah, Lawrence, he wants the jacket if you can give the reversible jacket from Foco. Yeah, you get the cooler side. As cool as the other side of the Foco shirt. But I think our fan base is tired and fed up, but we're not going anywhere, so we're going to bitch as much as we can on Twitter, on CHGO White Sox, anywhere we can. So, yeah, if he doesn't want to face him, LinkedIn. Then that's on him as a person that is the general manager. Part of the job is to face the fans, to, as the front-facing voice of the White Sox, because Kenny Williams has been on a milk carton as far as facing the media. Rick Hahn's got to face the media somehow, or got to face the fans somehow. And if it's not through the media, you got to do it in a public setting like Sox Fest and take the bullets. It's just words. It's just words, Rick. So you're not going on ESPN 1000, not going on The Score, not coming on CHGO White Sox. So where are you going to get your ire? Where are you going to get the pushback? So they probably live in some glass house and think, man, we're doing a great job, because everybody in White Sox organization's like, man, we are doing awesome. Project Birmingham, look at that.
Yeah.
We're doing so great here.
Yeah, if you missed that, A Glimpse into the Future, Project Birmingham is a 3-episode series that explores the promotion of the top of the White Sox prospects to White Sox AA affiliate, the Birmingham Bermings, available Wednesday on YouTube and WhiteSox.com. So they're very excited about this Project Birmingham thing, but I don't know if it's even something that they're going to replicate in 2023. So you'll get an insight into the White Sox organization, I guess, on Wednesday. But
do they have enough players to replicate that again next year?
I mean, maybe it's the same players. I'm not sure. Maybe it's the same people they try to recycle.
Theoretically, Oscar Colas will be up here. Colt Montgomery will probably still be down there. But who's coming up from single A? Ramos? That's about it?
Single A?
Yeah.
I mean, Colson, I guess. Because, I mean, Colson was...
I think he'll just be at double A his whole year.
Right. But I'm just saying, I guess, like, technically that's a promotion. Because, like... they promoted him to Birmingham, but I guess they're also going to have to, like, promote him again. But, yeah, I think Ramos and Montgomery will be definitely promoted from A to single A.
Herman.
What did Herman say?
Herman said, and I understand being critical, that's fair, but Hahn has not done a bad job. He has to deal with the raft of decades of frustrating that he didn't create. The Sox had one bad season. Herman, the man's been on the job for 10 seasons. 10. They've been to the playoffs twice.
And once was in the clown season.
Exactly. They've won 2 goddamn playoff games.
And they should have won that division the year.
2. Herman, who do you think's responsible for that? Not Teflon Hahn? Are you going to give him the skate and say Teflon Hahn is not responsible for the team? But I guarantee if they win a division or they win the World Series, you'll be the first one on the table saying, man, Rick Hahn's out here doing things. I get it, Herman. I get it. But damn it, that man is responsible. Him, Kenny Williams, and Jerry Reinsdorf. Like, who do you think's responsible otherwise?
I think, too, like, and Herman said we started a real rebuild halfway through, though. But, 2 of them. I mean, yeah, you had 2 rebuilds. So you had 2 chances to get this right.
They haven't.
And the rebuild has been bad. I mean, they just went 81 and 81. I mean, this was supposed to be, when they signed Yasmani Grandal, the opening of a 5 to 7 year window. You're supposed to, in that window, from my assumption, if you're championship contenders, make the playoffs. This rebuild, just by 2022 alone, has failed. I mean, the rebuild has not worked unless you get results. The White Sox haven't gotten any results. And just, if you want to take from 2019, the White Sox have 1 division title. And they've spent the most money out of any of these teams since 2019. And they have 1 division title to show for it, 2 playoff appearances, and they were guaranteed a playoff appearance in 2022, and they just did not want to show up. And that's what their players told you. Our guy, Alex, mentioning Rick Hahn going on Cap's show, but I think the last time that he was on that was in June. I think it was June 24th was the last time Rick Hahn was on Cap and Hood. And he hasn't been on The Score since. He's never done this show. Last interview I saw him do was with Russell Dorsey. And Russ is a fantastic, fantastic baseball writer for Bally Sports, but also Bally is fairly new. And not a hub for White Sox content. You know, Russ does a fantastic job, but Bally's isn't even a cable provider of the Sox. It's NBC Sports Chicago. So he didn't even go to the mouth of the beast in NBC Sports Chicago. And, you know, maybe some people saw Russ's piece, and if you haven't, it's, you know, Rick gives some good insight, but it's not the main place you'd go to for Sox coverage.
No, it's not. And sorry, kind of negative. I'm still waiting for that positive thing. Waiting for it. Please show it to me. And there are other podcasts that will give you the positive spin. plenty of people out here that will give you positive spin. If you want that, be my guest by all means. There's nothing wrong with sampling all the Sox Twitter sphere and all the podcasts and all the blogospheres out here. But where are we at?
Well, I guess I can end on some optimism because we did want to talk about what was going to happen with the Sox at the winter meetings. And I think that there is some optimism that they could get a deal done this winter meetings. Something that Rick has said in the past before, and this is from James Fegan's piece in the Athletic today. This is a quote from 2018. There's nothing magical about doing a deal during the winter meetings. It doesn't add two more wins to the regular seasons if you do a deal this week. So I don't know if Rick Hahn sees this week as so important, but I think the dominoes falling are important for the White Sox. Trey Turner, Justin Verlander, I think that is important for the White Sox. So I do think that the White Sox will sign somebody. I made a bet with Jake Flanagan earlier or what's his official title?
General manager.
General manager of CHGO. We made a bet that in September, the White Sox will not win 20 games. They won 19. I got a Portillo's Italian beef because of it. Thank you very much for shaking the hand of the Italian beef right there. But yeah.
That's the Sean Jake beef shake.
It's the Sean Jake beef shake. But now I forget where I was going with this. Awesome.
Just think about that.
Positivity.
Beef.
Positivity. I just think that the White Sox, I don't know. Something's going to happen here.
But I said yesterday's show that they'll find a way by the end of this week to bring in Joey Gallo. That's the specific player I named that I think at the end of the week, Joey Gallo will be a White Sox. Is there any player that you're thinking by the end of the week, White Sox will be getting this player via trade, this player via free agency?
I think it will be a left fielder. I think if they address anything at this point, it will be a left fielder. And I don't know if the Turner thing sets off anything specifically for that outfield area, but I do think the White Sox, now that they have identified Clevinger as a need, gone out and got Clevinger, I think if they could probably move on to their next guy, right? So I just think that their plate is cleared. So if the White Sox see that, you know, hey, if we don't mess around and give what these guys want, we could bring them in fairly cheaply. So just go get the deal done. Basically, the ball is in your court. We've seen the Verlander deal get done. We've seen the Turner deal get done. We've seen the Clevinger deal get done. Go out, meet their needs, and clear the board.
Matthew McGorry says Cody Bellinger, the White Sox will get. I hope I'm saying your name right. And Marcos Bueno says Sox will land Reynolds. So Brian Reynolds from the Pittsburgh Pirates. That will take a lot of doing and might hurt a little bit with our future going over to the Pittsburgh Pirates because they're not going to take Lucas Giolito, guys. They're not. They're not going to take the Lucas Giolito. It will have to take somebody like Colson Montgomery going to the Pittsburgh Pirates to get Brian Reynolds, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think Reynolds is going to happen. The White Sox seem to want to do a major league for major league move. And like you said, I don't think Giolito gets that deal done. I just don't think a deal gets done for them in a trade market. I think, like I've said this whole offseason, I think if the White Sox are going to be active, they need to be active in the free agent market. And I think at least what we talked about a little bit earlier, the fact that the White Sox might be able to go to that 190 mark, I think that does provide a little bit of optimism.
Fred thinks they're going to get Max Kepler. How would you feel about that?
I would hate it. The Max Kepler rumors for Max Kepler and Giolito for what was the rumor? Giolito for Max Kepler and Nick Gordon. You're getting a guy who's best season's 2019, so that's a huge red flag in Max Kepler, and Nick Gordon, who I have tweeted is the worst baseball player I've ever seen. Just no idea where he is on a baseball field.
He improved late in the season. He was showing the power bat late in the year.
Sure, you know,
that's Tom Flash Gordon.
Yeah, well, what did D do? I mean, D got popped for steroids, and you know, I don't know. It's just I'm not a huge fan of Kepler. I'm not a huge fan of Nick Gordon, and I think the White Sox, you have six starters now, right? You have the rotation filled out. You just need two more spots. I don't think you need to overcomplicate this. You have $20 million to go get a right fielder or a left fielder and a second baseman. I think that they can do that.
We got, let's see, Alex Roots saying bring in Conforto, AJ Torres and Gallo. Oh, all right, so Gleyber Torres and Joey Gallo. Hey, if that is the end of the free agency, or if that's so they trade for Gleyber and they go and sign Joey Gallo, I'll be happy as hell. I'll be content. That team would be the best team, I think, on paper in the AL Central if they get those two players, because then they finally have a power bat as a lefty, and Gleyber Torres will be the second baseman that the White Sox need to upgrade over the four guys they already have.
On paper, staff. Aren't they the best team in the AL Central no matter what?
Not right now.
I disagree.
No.
They're still better than the Guardians.
No.
They are. I mean, the Guardians had 1 year, and they were the youngest team in all of Major League Baseball.
They're getting slightly better. Yeah. And as the youngest team, the White Sox were the fourth oldest team in Major League Baseball in 2022.
Well, they just got rid of the 36-year-old, thankfully.
And added a 32-year-old.
Younger. They got rid of Johnny Cueto and got younger. They got four years.
Got rid of their, 70-plus-year-old manager and got a 50-year-old manager.
20 years right there. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter, at EcknerMall23. Again, that's Herbie Sunshine.
It is for
all those people that think he's too negative. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter, at Sean_W_Anderson, or Guy Herman with a final super chat. If nothing, you guys are fire. Hashtag.
Rah-rah White Sox.
Rah-rah White Sox. Thank you, Herman. And you're fire as well. We appreciate everyone. And I think you said that to somebody. It's discourse. It's our whole team, so everyone's going to feel passionate. But as long as you're cordial about it. Yeah. Right. I mean, we don't care.
We just disagree with our opinions on what the White Sox are doing. And I'm more based to be thinking negatively. My man, Jaxo, which I gave you a shout-out yesterday, Jaxo. When you come on here and you say, let's sign Judge, and we poo-poo that. But God damn it, Jaxo, your positivity is what we need. They can't afford Aaron Judge. They just decide not to. So appreciate you joining us and appreciate you bringing your Aaron Judge every once in a while when we come to these CHGO White Sox shows.
Like we said, Jaxo can afford Judge himself. He gave us a super chat as well saying, Han hasn't done anything since signing Clevinger, and I'm angry since free agents are now getting signed. But again, not a lot of free agents have gotten signed. There's two big ones that have gotten signed and then a handful of pitchers. It's Eflin, Tyler Anderson, and Clevinger, basically, I think are the main pitchers that have signed. Oh, and Matthew Boyd. Those are the four pitchers that have signed.
He signed for a lot more than I thought he would.
So you're not counting Verlander or DeGrom?
Those are bums.
Oh, I just totally forgot about them. So Scherzer, DeGrom are the big ones. But I mean,
Verlander.
Verlander. Why am I saying Scherzer?
You just think about old Tiger pitchers. You're going to say Porcello next.
Verlander and DeGrom have fallen, I guess. So Rodon's the only major starting pitcher out there.
Frank Tanana.
Yeah, but the White Sox jumped that really quickly. Angels legend. The White Sox jumped that really quickly.
He was a Tiger.
Was he a Tiger?
Yeah, yes. That's why I made the reference. He was an angel.
He might have been,
but he was more of a Tiger, I believe. That's where I saw him.
Thank you, Herb.
I think about him. I think about that old Tiger gray and the red and blue at
Comiskey Park.
Going to Tiger Stadium with Cecil Fielder hitting home runs on the roof.
Yeah.
And White Sox and Tigers, I think, combined for
Cecil Fielder is Prince Fielder's dad.
For like 15 home runs.
Yeah, thank you.
In one game. I remember that game. I think the White Sox hit 8 and the Tigers hit 7.
Cecil and Prince ended with the same amount of home runs.
They did.
In their career.
Cecil.
What did I say?
Cecil.
My man. Cecil.
Cecil Diesel.
Frank Tanana was also better in LA than he was in Detroit. Three top 10 finishes in Cy Young? And you guys are talking about late career Frank Tanana. Mike Clevinger age Frank Tanana. That's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. There's one final comment I wanted to get to. If you just want to scroll up a little bit to our guy Connor, just a little bit above Jaxo. It would be disappointing if it ends with Clevinger, not a positive spin, but a genuine belief that team as made up now as far away the favorite to win the division. I agree. If they even end with Clevinger, I still think that they're better than the Guardians. But I don't think the White Sox should be done with the offseason. And that's where I think fans probably get a little bit of, something stuck in their teeth there. It's just
sure?
Yeah.
Who's left fielder right now?
Who's left fielder for the Guardians? Kwan, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to rattle off my So Kwan, Gonzalez, and right field.
I'm not talking about their team. I'm talking about who's our left fielder right now.
Well, I guess maybe that's what Connor's saying there. It's just if it ends with Clevinger, then I think Han deserves a little bit more of a bashing. But if they go out and get Nimmo,
you said currently that the White Sox are a better team on paper than the Guardians.
I think they are.
I can't go there. They got two Gold Glove outfielders in Straw and Kwan.
Ooh, Gold Gloves.
Yeah, I mean, what are those exactly, White Sox fans? And then the best player in the division is right there in Jose Ramirez. I mean, you saw the ascension of Josh Naylor. They have one of the best pitchers in the baseball in Shane Bieber. Tristan McKenzie is coming up.
Stud.
They just have everything. I mean, and if the game gets to the eighth and ninth inning, the game is over. Karinchak has refound the form, and who's better than Emmanuel Class A? I very seldom put Class B or Class C.
No, I agree with you there.
It's always Class A.
I mean, Hendricks is also Class A. I mean, he's been Class A for a while, so it's not like the White Sox are far behind in that position. And I still think that Vaughn's better than Naylor. I think Naylor overachieved last year. Jimenez is good, but I don't know if he's that good, all-star good. Rosario's definitely not that good. Tim's better than Rosario. Ramirez obviously has got the upper hand than Moncada.
Jimenez catcher, is much better.
Catcher, I don't know if it's that much better. Like Austin Hedges, they don't have guys that do damage behind the plate. If Grandal's hitting 20 home runs, the White Sox are better.
If?
I don't know.
If it's the fifth, we all be drunk.
That's Herb Lawrence.
That's more of a Thomas Hall thing, my guy.
Who's Thomas Hall?
My friend.
Oh. You follow him on Twitter at @EckronRoll23. Not Thomas Hall. You can follow Herb Lawrence on Twitter at @EckronRoll23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at @Sean_W_Anderson. I'm the host of the CHGO White Sox podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow for day two of the winter meetings. Maybe the White Sox will have signed somebody by then and we'll be able to talk about it. Oh, hey.
Sign. Remember, I got wild for damn Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel got me hyped. Sign somebody of his ilk and
I agree.
I was going to say something rude and crude, but I will not. I'll be happy as hell. I'll bust. I'll be the happiest guy in the world.
Real happy. I'll bust open with excitement. Anyways, we'll talk to you tomorrow with some Rick Hahn quotes. Go Sox.